Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Highlights of Upanishads. The title is Brihadaranyaka Upanishads, presented by Swami Jyotir Mayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
We are recording from the ashram of our revered Guru Pujyatman, Sri Swami Jyotirmayananji in Miami, Florida.
And Swamiji continues the series on highlights of the Upanishad, continuing with Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Class 36. And now our revered Guru Pujyatman, Sri Swami Jyotirmayanandaji.
Om Purnamadaha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Every Upanishad has a peace chant, and this is the peace chant of Brihadaranyaka. Purnamadaha, up. The absolute is full. That is full. This world is full. If you take away full from full, what remains is full. Becomes like a big riddle. And therefore let there be peace, peace, peace. You never ask for one peace. You always ask for three peace. Because human trouble is in three ways. Trouble coming from within you, body and mind. Adhyatmic. Trouble coming from the world outside. And the trouble by act of God. Sometimes the act of God predominates our news. Hurricanes, cyclones and all that. Sometimes war predominates the news. What's going on with all the evildoers. And sometimes there's no news, but it's not a good news. You experience troubles from within yourself. All these three types of troubles, they have their source in a conditioned mind, mind that is not enlightened. Your goal is to put an end to all these troubles. And just to give you simple understanding, when you go to sleep, from your consciousness, there emanates a dream consciousness, a dream world. The dream world is very similar to this world. Time, space, all types of events, past, present, future. From this world, the dream world has proceeded, emanated. Everything in the dream world is nothing different from the normal world. When you take away the dream world, do you lose anything? Nothing. You are left with the world, with your consciousness. Similar way of thinking is directed in a very advanced way. The deepest level, awareness doesn't need mind, intellect, senses. Awareness is like the shining sun. And for that sun, there is no multiplicity. It's absolute. That's real full. Eternity. Now, all the illuminations that emanate from the sun, they are enormous. But if you were to ask, what is that illumination? Let it be in a rainbow or in a dewdrop or in a bucket full of water. What is that illumination? It is the sun. So from the fullness of the sun, all illuminations which are fullness playing a deceptive role. And when you take away this deceptive fullness, what remains is the absolute fullness. And that's your goal. Fullness has fooled you through your mind, intellect, and senses. You are constantly struggling. But all experiences that arise, they are transient, they are not real, they are like dream. Only time you become relaxed when you go to sleep. But at that time, you move away from your mind, intellect, ego. But you come back to that pattern of mind, intellect. If you were to completely move away from mind, intellect, and ego, never to come back to them, nothing is going to be lost. The reality continues. Reality is the absolute self. I will continue now with the Upanishad. I have just given you a little reiteration about the peace chant. Presently in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, chapter 1, section 5, and mantra number 1. Upanishad talks about 7 types of food. Sanskrit word for food is annam. Another word is ahar. Ahar shuddhau sattva shuddhi. If your food is pure, your unconscious, your whole mental process will become pure. But when we talk of food, it implies many more things than physical food. Physical food nourishes your physical body. But then there are different types of intakes, things you see, things you hear, different experiences through your senses. If they are good, they nourish your heart. If they are not, there is a depletion of your inner energy. Right type of character in daily life, right type of attitude, nourishes you in a special way. If you are doing japa, satsanga, being good and doing good, you receive an internal nourishment, the type of nourishment that allows and makes you strong during challenging situations. If you don't have that nourishment, then every challenging situation shakes you up completely. So therefore, when it comes to physical weakness, medicines are many and doctors can give you many advice. But when there is inner weakness, anger has come and you can't control it. No matter whosoever wants to give you any good advice, makes no difference. That you can control it if you are nourishing yourself with satsanga, japa, and reflecting upon the lives of saints and sages. If you have that type of practice, you are gaining an internal nourishment that allows you to understand your deficiencies, your weaknesses, and develop a will to control them. And you are able to control them, conquer them, conquering the lower self by the higher self. Your life becomes a progressive, real progress, real joy and thrill of having human embodiment is experienced. Therefore, our best of prayers talk about Sugandhim Pushti Vardhanam. O God, Shiva with 3 eyes, Triambakam, we adore you. Sugandhim Pushti Vardhanam, you are the giver of fragrance and nourishment. And that fragrance and nourishment relate to what I am now talking about, the broad mystical concept of nourishment. And this Upanishad brings out in a profound way. Seven types of food. First type of food, that's what is normally recognized as food. Human beings, birds, animals, all have their food to eat. Second type of food, you are coming now into a mystical level. When you do offerings to God with mantras, that type of act of offering, rather consider act of materials that are used in offering. Different symbolic materials are used when you do worship. That's called second type of food. Sanskrit word is huta. But along with this type of food that you offer, you develop spirit of dedication, a feeling, an attitude. That attitude is another type of food. Let me dramatize that point. Someone has come at your door, hungry, thirsty, wants your help, and you come out and give something. Thereby you have created a spirit of charity. It has given you some nourishment. The nourishment becomes bigger, better nourishment when you give to the person, say some gentle words, even to the extent, how fortunate am I that you have come to my door, given me the opportunity to serve you, seeing God in person. Now the same act becomes more nourishing. For whom? For yourself. You feel much better. Internally, your heart expands. On the other hand, the same act, look at it in another way. Someone has come. Now you bring all your sons and daughters and look at what this world is going to. They are all becoming beggars. He says, Saudi, give him something. Tell him never to come again. Now, the same situation, handling this way, what have you done? You have diminished your strength, narrowed your own heart, created this kind of stress in the minds of many people, and created a karma. The man who is insulted looks at you one day, wait, a karmic animosity develops. So when we talk of nourishment, you must realize nourishment comes from many sources. So the manner in which you give something, the attitude with which you give, huta and prahuta. Then there is fourth type of food that's common to all, mother's milk. That also has a subtler meaning behind it. There is a universal sense of being gracious and gentle. Everyone is fed by mother's milk. And your relation with the mother is a echo of universal unity, universal love. However, that milk has turned into polluted milk. Human love, innate love, can mixed up with greed and jealousy and hatred and moha, lots of illusion. The divine movement purifies that milk, turns it into butter. And that's elaborated in bhakti books, where Krishna is always waiting when the butter will be ready. He will steal it. Then the last three types of food, they are mind, speech and prana. त्रीण्यात्मने अकुरुतेति मनोवाचं प्राणं तान्यात्मने अकुरुत अन्यत्र मना अभूवं नादर्शं एंड सो फोर्थ. दिस 153 चैप्टर 1 सेक्शन 5 मंत्र 3. Three foods he made for himself, himself relating to the creator, God. They are mind, speech and breath. Of these three, mind is most, supermost. All human experiences are possible in and through mind and different ways of understanding are presented in the scriptures. Your eyes are open. Things happen, but you don't attend to them. When you are asked, you say, oh, my mind wasn't there. So your eyes are there, but your mind is not there with your eyes. Your eyes don't see. Your mind is not there with your ears. Your ears are useless. So mind is the source, support, and essence of all the senses. And if you go further, mind is the cause of bondage and release, desire, determination, doubt, faith, lack of faith, steadfastness, lack of steadfastness, shame, intelligence, fear. All these are different functions of the mind. They happen in and through the mind. And all these play a tremendous part in the experiences of the world process. Now coming to speech. Speech has tremendous role in human life. Even your physical actions become inferior to the power of speech. Try to understand the point. Sometimes you say something bitter and that those words are remembered by people. And with modern advancement, they're recorded. Even if we have forgotten it, they will repeat. Will go viral. But if you do something defective in your activity in your house, sweeping or anything you are doing, something wrong goes, that does not become so viral. I'm just trying to give the field of physical action is limited. The field of speech is much greater. Field of mind is beyond imagination. So if you are nourished at the plane of action, that's good. Nourished at the plane of speech, how to speak, what type of feeling must be behind your speech, what type of culture, that would make you an exceedingly great personality. In Mahabharata, a question has been raised. What gives a person success? Bhishma, who replies, says, one who learns, has the art of good speech. No matter where you go, you can draw people to yourself in a friendly manner. Or you can dispel them. And all that will depend upon the trick of your tongue. Not as a trick, but should be normal. A joyous expression of your heart. Now coming to the role of prana. Prana has a very profound role in every individual. Kundalini yoga gives many subtle operations of prana. The general practice of pranayama handles the discipline of controlling prana, conserving prana. Prana is translated as vital forces. Without prana, you will not be alive. When pranas depart, body is dead. Pranas never rest. Look within your body. Everything has a time limit. Your ears get tired. Your eyes get tired. Even your mind gets tired. Even the body gets tired. Pranas don't. You go on breathing. Vital functions continue. They never stop until there comes a time the pranas have to leave the body. Even then, pranas have not stopped. Your prana's relationship with the body has cut down because of the end of karma. Pranas still continue, leading the subtle body. When you depart from your body, you have soul blended with mind, intellect, senses. All these ingredients stay with the soul. And prana goes on handling that state of the soul without the body, planning for how the soul will enter into another body. Prana continues. And when does the prana stop? When soul attains enlightenment. Then the pranas become completely free of their functions. They become one with God. In brief, prana, vital functions within you, are the best representative of God's presence. And if that is understood, it becomes a great art of handling life's challenges and leading your soul to enlightenment. What's needed, I'm just going steps beyond the Upanishad. Upanishad does not mention at this stage, but all this is implied. If you learn the art of doing japa with breath, breathing in, say for example, Om is the simplest mantra. Breathing in Om, breathing out Om. Thereby you are constantly giving the mind a reminder. God within you. God within you. And that becomes a powerful method of controlling the mind and enriching the mind in a divine way. Likewise, there is another mantra called Soham. So you breathe in. Hum, breathing out. So means that. Hum, I am. That am I. That am I. And also subtle art. When the mind comes with lots of problems, try to switch your attention from all those problems. Turn to your nose. Focus your attention on your breathing. And while breathing, develop a sense that this breath that I am breathing is a cosmic breath. It comes from the cosmic energy, vitality of God. It's God who is entering in me. And to God, I am being attuned with breathing in and breathing out. Same pranic energy, the vitality, the universal energy that sustains countless suns, countless Milky Ways, not talking about little things, and all little things as well, the entire earth planet, mountains, countless things going on within the earth planet, and countless things going on within your whole body and nervous system. Who is handling it all that? prana. And that doesn't require any proof. Can't say, oh, I don't believe in it. If I were to see it, I believe. Touch your nose. It's right there. It is that very prana that is sustaining you. That which sustains countless things of this universe. Enormous things of all expressions of life require prana behind it. That prana is God. That prana is easy to think about. God is prana of the prana. God is life of this life force. But until your mind is ready for the subtlest understanding of God, prana is your best support in your spiritual movement. Now, some details about prana. Vital function within human personality. Five types. And accordingly, pranas are five. Prana actually is universal. But according to functions, their names are different.